and I start having me a ball.
Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in. Friday is my day to play. Not a stormy Monday, not a ruby Tuesday, not a Wednesday week, not a Thursday. Thursday is so sad, but Friday. Friday on your mind, Friday is the day to play. Good Friday, bad Friday, and every Friday in between. I'll be with you for the next 3 hours here on the Mike Malloy Show. Glorious, glorious week in the news. Not a glorious week in the news if you are in Serbia. or if you're a Serbian anywhere in the world with your embassy getting attacked. Not a glorious week if you happen to be John McCain, Cindy McCain, any McCain anywhere. McCain had a tough week this week, didn't he? He really did. McCain is the presumptive nominee for the Republicans in 2008. He was written off as dead only a few months ago. Remember that? I mean, it just hadn't been that long that he came from out of nowhere to upset the mighty Mitt, the man that's full of Mitt, Mr. Romney, back in New Hampshire. He was resurrected from the dead. He rose like Lazarus. He rolled away the stone like Christ. However, it would appear that his resurrection is a lot shorter lived than that of the eternal life of the Savior. As in the last week, the New York Times published a bombshell of a story about a possible relationship with a bombshell of a blonde. Now, this has been all over the news for the last couple of days, and between you and I do not care in the least about his extracurricular activities with women. He was known as a flyboy, as the kind of guy that did a lot of this kind of thing. He left his first wife for his second wife, who's having an affair with his second wife before he married her. None of that stuff makes it. In fact, what makes more of a difference to me about Senator McCain than anything else that is indicative of the kind of person that he is. Oh, by the way, I haven't even said, I'm Johnny Wendell. I didn't even say what my name was. I'm so into this. Couldn't wait to get to the idea of getting to Senator McCain here. I am Johnny Wendell. You're a fabulous villain here. Oh, John McCain, John McCain. I don't care. I don't care about who he diddles or who he doesn't diddle. It makes me know, never mind. That's an irrelevance. He didn't care about what Clinton did in the 1990s with his mistresses. Don't care about McCain's today. But he does have a pattern of mixing his love life with his business life. And we knew this with his second wife, Cindy McCain, who has stood by her man a la Tammy Wynette recently through thick and thin. It seems that when he left his first wife, Carol, for second wife, Cynthia, Cynthia not only assumed the role of wife, she assumed the role of bankroller. Did you know this? She is a beer heiress, and she and her trust fund money launched Senator McCain as a congressman from Arizona back in the 80s. So it would seem that his second wife was more than just a wife to him. That being said, McCain's entire appeal, and I must confess that I fell under this particular spell myself back in 2000. I admit this. I voted for him in 2000. Is that of somebody who says exactly what he thinks. The straight talk express, as opposed to the crooked talk express, which would appear to be what's going on now. I fell for the ruse, too. I believed in the Maverick stuff. Either that or he was a different man back in 2000 than he is today. Because he is definitely talking out of both sides of his mouth, except today, when he, like Mose Allison and the Yardbirds before him, he's not talking. That's what he got to say. He's not saying anything. Did you know this? According to The Hotline, the National Journal's daily briefing on politics, he held a town hall meeting in Indiana and refused to answer any questions about the Times story alleging that his relationship with a lobbyist prompted special favors for her firms. I have no comment on this. None. He refused to talk about it. And he was talking about that he does not have improper relations with lobbyists. And yet, over the last couple of days, it has come to light that 59 members of his campaigns are attached to lobbies in reality. And this goes directly through the already somewhat wounded heart of this candidate, man. John McCain lives and dies by one ethos and one ethos alone. He speaks his mind. He is a straight shooter. You know what you get with John McCain. His character was forged in the crucible of the Hanoi Hilton and 5.5 years of torture. Yeah. That's his whole thing. That's what he lives and dies by. And yet, oddly enough, the one part of his constituency that does not buy this act is that would be his most natural allies. That would be the far right of the Republican Party that he belongs to. They don't see him as a straight shooter on the Straight Talk Express. They see him as a liar and a kook on the Straight Jacket Express, in reality. They don't buy his act. And it seems to me, and it must seem to you as well, that his act has been exposed as an act, and a brazen one at that, quite a bit lately. Like I said, the New York Times story, as far as it goes with him sleeping with this woman, I don't care. I don't care if he was. A lot of innuendo in that piece. I read the New York Times piece. There's no evidence that this actually happened. And frankly, I don't want a stained blue dress in this particular instance. I don't care if he was with this woman. Irrelevant. But when they claim that his campaign did not make a rendezvous with her at Union Station in Washington, D.C. to back off, and then says, well, that's an unsourced allegation, and that unsourced allegation turns out to be Sonny John Weber, one of his best friends and longest confidants. Well, that's not unsourced. That's a name. An unsourced allegation comes from somebody you don't name. John Weber's got a name. I said it. And he said this never happened, and the campaign said it never happened. Weber said it did. Contradiction after contradiction. The straight-talking maverick that tells it like it is. Tells it like it is, my butt. In reality, his greatest skill is charming the SMSM, the sucking mainstream media, these imbecile reporters, these guys who want access, that want to rub elbows with the ugly stars of Washington, buy into his line, hook, line, and sinker, because he's a tough guy. He's a fly boy. He endured 5.5 years of living hell. That's more than you ever will, Junior, you marshmallow. And they love it. They think vicariously. They get a little bit of his tough guy act riding on the Straight Talk Express with McCain. However, it would appear that now that he is the presumptive nominee, and not the so-called wild long shot as he was in 2000 against Bush, people are starting to pay a little attention to the fact that in reality, Mr. Straight Talk does not straight walk. He is, in fact, the quintessential standard issue cut from the mold Washington, D.C. insider. There is nothing authentic about him in the least. Question: will the revelations in the New York Times and in Newsweek and in the Washington Post of the last 3 days, we're going to go over all of this, sink the SS McCain? Is he now, in fact, a goner? The hardcore right of the Republican Party never liked this guy. It's independents and centrists that he rode to the nomination, much to the chagrin of the religious right and to the Wall Street Journal editorial page and to the lovers of Mitt Romney and Fred Thompson and Rudy Giuliani, to the Fox News Republicans, the Matt Drudge Republicans, the Coulter, Limbaugh, Hannity, unholy axis of Republicans. They are crying foul, and they're crying sadness because they didn't like this guy. Although, interestingly enough, Mr. Hannity defended Mr. McCain with both barrels blazing today. The worship of the cult, Die Partie Republikanische, is deeper than anything else, n'est-ce pas? The question is this: Mr. Hannity and Mr. Limbaugh and whatever Coulter is can do a 180 all they want. Is he done? Are McCain's shenanigans with lobbyists and money going to do him in? Is the Straight Talk Express about to hit a wall? We are at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. That is our number here on the Mike Malloy Show. 800-989-1480. Do you think that McCain is done. At this point, the wheels are off the wagon. Nobody believes his shtick anymore. It's vaudeville with boards across the door for John Sidney McCain. 800-989-1480. 1480, actually. My name is Johnny Wendell. This is the Mike Malloy Show. And we shall return shortly. And one thing that you might want to keep in mind, don't go anywhere.
Live and let die. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a virtuous man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get
You can't always get what you want. This is the Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in, and you will get what you want from us. Because we are the voice of reason, as opposed to the choice of treason. We are talking about Arizona Senator John Sidney McCain, who would appear to have gone off the rails of the crazy train. No, not entirely. That isn't an accurate statement. What would be a more accurate statement about Senator McCain is that he's in a lot of trouble right now. We're talking about the articles in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and from Newsweek, and we'll get to the Post and Newsweek. We were talking about the Times article about him and his affair with the lobbyist that may or may not have happened. And I think that there is something that you may not have put together, simple math-wise, in this. The Washington Post and the New York Times and Newsweek are very much part of the mainstream media, or as I call them, the stinking or sucking mainstream media, the SMSM, which is sadomasochism squared, which makes sense because they hurt. That being said, when the mainstream media, John McCain's best friends, turn on him, you know that something is afoot here. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I support Barack Obama, I voted for him, I sent him money. Right, it's out in the open. I've come out of the closet as an Obama supporter, that's fine. I thought that an Obama-McCain race would be interesting because you are talking about two press darlings against each other. Obama is beloved by the news media, Hillary Clinton is not. McCain is beloved by the news media. A lot of the media did not like a lot of the other Republican candidates. I was wondering which one was going to get fluffed the most by the press. And I don't know what they have in store for Barack. But right now, it would appear that the mainstream news media, the ones who elevated McCain to stardom in the first place and resuscitated him in New Hampshire this year, are turning on him. Do you think that that is a sign that it is all over for the shouting for John McCain? We're at 800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. Alex in Long Beach, listening to me on K-Talk, AM 1150. You're on with Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Good, Alex. What do you think?
You know, I think there's an old saying in the South, and it's ironic in some ways because we saw McCain sort of turn and kowtow to the religious right in the South after first, you know, rejecting religious intolerance. But there's a saying in the South. And
you know, it's interesting,
you know,
though.
Stick a fork in him, turn him over, he's done. And I really think that that's the case here.
You really think that it... let me ask you something. When we were talking about the idea that it is remarkable that the New York Times, who endorsed this guy, decided, well, we're going to publish a fair amount of innuendo, because you saw the story, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no, I mean the accusations of the affair,
on.
The crap.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I couldn't believe the New York Times going after John McCain. I mean, what next?
It was just such a, I think, the New York Times is pretty suspect anyway as a paper. I mean, they really for so long were a supporter of the war with Judith Miller and all that nonsense.
Of course, and the OSP basically stovepiping stories to her.
Yeah.
Sure.
But there's just, for me, there's such a deep sense of cynicism that has come out about John McCain, that he is willing to support Bush when he was against him, despite the way Bush ran his campaign against him in 2000. And I just think
the black baby stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he wants to be president so bad he's willing to do anything. And the thing that Barack represents, I think, to the American people on the left, right, and center is the idea that maybe we can get something done if we don't play this game the way it's always been played. And I don't think that Barack is a hero or a savior, but I think he presents the possibility of change because, boy, we need it in this country.
Well, also, Alex, with Barack, you don't entirely know what you're getting, but you know that you're not getting what you don't want. Okay, and I promise I will not do too much Obama cheerleading here. As I said, I voted for him. I donated money to him. I'm happy about the guy, frankly. But if the issue is John McCain, it is remarkable to me to open up the Washington Post today and see on the front page. Well, actually, that's a contradiction. You don't open up a paper and look at the front page. I saw Washington Post sitting at the Starbucks today, and on the front page, the anti-lobbyist advised by lobbyists. That's remarkable. That's like saying, liar, liar, ba-bum-bum-ba-bum-bum, liar. That's right. Essentially, they're saying liar because when you have a contradiction in the slug line of an article, that speaks volumes. Great. All I got to do is mention Crazy Train, and Ian goes crazy on the Crazy Train. That's fine. We are at 800-989-1480 here. 800-989-1480. Also, lines are jammed. If you want to email me, I'm at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. Easy to remember. The Boston Celtics will rise again. So will Johnny Wendell on the Mike Malloy Show. Don't go anywhere.
It's terrible. It's terrible. In Arizona, we have so little water, the trees chase the dogs. It's terrible.
This is the Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in. Mike took the night off to do a little handshaking and meeting and greeting of the people in Phoenix, Arizona. I am here talking to you from K-Talk AM 1150 in Los Angeles, where I am a regular. Well, I'm regularly on the air. Believe me, you listen to me for the last 35 minutes. You know I'm fairly irregular in everything else. We have been talking about Arizona Senator John McCain, who is in a little trouble these days. The Straight Talk Express has become the Straight Jacket Express, and the Maverick has become more of a pinto or a pony. Actually, he's not doing very well right now. He has been caught in contradiction after contradiction. There are accusations of unfaithfulness and infidelity in his marriage and too much fidelity to lobbyists. Well, McCain wants to ride the idea that he tells it like it is, and he is an honest man that don't lie. Of course, he became relatively well-known as a U.S. senator for doing favors for a gentleman named Charles Keating in the SNL scandal of the early 90s. He was one of the Keating Five. And you would figure in this day and age, with our economy teetering on the precipice of total disaster from what is called the shadow banking industry, the subprime disaster, the credit crunch, the last thing you would want is a reprise of same from someone who was not just knee-deep, Parliament Funkadelic 1979, in this very same muck and mire. Well, you got it. Now, McCain has been bagged in a genuine lie. The thing about, you know, him having sex with the lobbyist, that's all hearsay. The fact that she was told to stay away by his advisor, John Weaver, well, whatever, no, never mind. However, Newsweek magazine has caught him in a serious contradiction. One of the claims in the story that ran in the New York Times was that Paxson Communications, which was a major McCain contributor and provider of jet travel in 2000, repeatedly requested that McCain intervene on its behalf in a pending FCC matter, and thereafter, McCain personally contacted the FCC to demand that it expedite its ruling on a matter of vital importance to Paxson. And that, by the way, when he did make that contact, the FCC chairman scolded him, said that the letter on behalf of Paxson was very unusual and completely inappropriate. Now, in issuing a specific point-by-point denial of the Times story, McCain specifically denied that he'd ever talked to Lowell Paxson, the company's CEO, or any representative from that company, and he said, no representative of Paxson or Alcalde and Fay discussed with Senator McCain the FCC proceeding. No representative personally asked me to send a letter to the FCC. Unfortunately, Mike Isikoff from Newsweek was given the transcripts of a deposition testimony in 2002, and McCain gave this under oath in litigation over whether or not McCain-Feingold, the campaign finance reform bill that bears his name, was constitutional. He said unequivocally that I was contacted by Mr. Paxson on this issue, and I'm sure I spoke to him. That was September 25, 2002. The other day, he said, no representative of Paxson or Alcalde and Ray discussed with me the FCC matter. This can't be there's no clear contradiction in the world of this. He said, A, I'm sure I spoke to him, and then B, nobody discussed anything with me. I'm sorry, that's a lie. That is a complete and absolute lie. That is a contradiction. Now, I recognize that we would be a lot happier in the body politic if we were talking about the bodies of McCain and his bimbo, Carol whatever or not was his first wife's name, Joyce. I can't even remember what the bimbo's name is, what the girlfriend's name is. Maybe you can remind me. She looks, you know what's really sick about that girlfriend of his supposedly? Seen a picture in the Times. It's a dead ringer for his own wife already. Two Botox babes, two women whose faces have been lifted so many times they're higher than Everest. Why would you want two of those? You figure he'd want somebody to look more like, I don't know, Michelle Obama. He should be with somebody who's going to be the first lady. Oh, low blow from the high roller. We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Is he done? Should you put a fork in him? Is he finished? John McCain, that is. Holly in Chicago, Illinois, you're on with Johnny.
Wow, that was a low blow.
Yeah, did you like it or not, though? That's
no,
the issue.
No, I loved it. Of course. I loved it.
Yeah,
and that's exactly appropriate.
Thank you.
Here's my theory. I think that there really is nothing behind that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a rumor that the Republicans put out to bring back some attention and generate some sympathy for him because they're not going to find anything behind it. So, in essence, it's going to keep some media attention on him.
And also, Holly, let me ask you something. It keeps media attention on him, and it takes media attention off of something else that has to do with his issues of campaign finance. I got a question for you, Holly. Are you aware of how he intends to keep his campaign afloat right now? Do you know this story?
I'm not aware at all.
You're going to love this one, Holly. Okay. Back before New Hampshire, when he was rescued, he went to the Federal Election Commission and he said, I will take matching funds. I'll take public financing of my campaign. All right? And what was a crack-up is he wanted a loophole of sorts where he said, if I win in New Hampshire, I won't take the FEC money. See, what happened was he went to a bank in Washington, D.C., and he said, I need a loan of about $6 million, and I'll use the matching funds from the government to pay the loan back. Unless, of course, I win in New Hampshire, in which case the campaign will be awash in cash. In other words, he wanted to opt in to public financing if he had to and opt out if he didn't have to. Now, what happens is, because he went to the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, and said, I need the money, he's obligated to take that money and none other until after the Republican convention. Yet, his people went after Barack Obama and said, Obama said he would go for public financing of the campaigns. In other words, we want Obama's hands tied the way ours are tied. And Obama answered pretty deftly. And he said, well, you know, I'll go along with it if we can work something out. Frankly, the Democrat and Republican take nothing but public money. Fine by me. Let's see if it can be possibly done. Obama's laughing out his sleeve at him. He's saying, you want to have it both ways. I don't have to do this if I don't want to. You're the one who went to the bank, secured a loan against government money or against the idea that your campaign would lose. On the other hand, you go into New Hampshire and you get killed by Romney or Giuliani or Thompson or whatever, Ron Paul. Well, then the bank gives you the loan and the federal government repays it. But part of the collateralization of the loan, you see, what's so interesting about this little topic is the idea that if I win in New Hampshire, I will have momentum. Then I won't have to take the government's money, and I'll have an out. But you can't do that, because once you say, I'll take that, and you know where this money comes from, that little box on your taxes that says I will donate $3 to presidential campaigns? Yeah, that's where that money comes from. He wanted to opt in if he needed it and opt out if he didn't. And he is in serious trouble, because the FEC could basically say to him, no, you got to operate on public funds until September. Now, it is said Barack Obama may raise between $56 and $60 million in March. He can bury McCain in 15 states with that money. I mean, you could buy every single piece of advertising on the top 20 TV and radio stations until September. Nobody even would know McCain existed. He would become Casper the Ghost that he actually looks like in real life. So, that's another explanation of McCain's perfidy and the fact that he wants it both ways. He wants to come across as the straight shooter, and yet he's got 59 lobbyists on his campaign. He'll take public funding unless, well, it turns out that I don't need it. He is full of crap. We are at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Frank, in Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida! You're on with Johnny on the Mike Malloy Show.
How you doing?
Frank, what do you think of this?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, man.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Well, I agree with everything you're saying about McCain. I think he's a horrendous individual. I think he's a criminal. I think he's a fascist. I think he is insane. In fact, the whole insane McCain name sounds really, really, really usable.
Don't you think? Are you aware of the song "Insane in the Brain" by Cypress Hill?
Yes.
Okay. So can't you just hear the chorus? He's insane, McCain. Insane in the membrane. Insane, McCain. It's got like a really good cadence, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And you can almost set to music the, you know, well, actually, he sets himself to music when he talks about bombing Iran. If you
bomb Iran
video.
From the Beach Boys song. Yeah.
He's insane. I mean, the Republicans should be embarrassed that he is their...
No, he's not far enough to the right for most of them. That's what's
right,
so bizarre.
Right. And he would keep us, as they've been pointing out, he'd keep us in Iraq for another 100 years. I just don't understand why they haven't learned a lesson. At the
here's a question for you, Frank. You know what's interesting about keeping us in Iraq for 100 years? Has anybody plotted out how much that costs? I did. $10 trillion. That's what? About 75% of our gross domestic product. $10 trillion. That's what he wants to spend. And do you want to know why McCain says we should stay in Iraq for the next 100 years? Because if we withdraw or retreat, it would be bad for the morale of the troops. He said this. Well, let's do a little math here. We got about 150,000 troops in Iraq right now. Their morale would be damaged. That's 150,000 people. We have 300 million plus Americans who are looking at shouldering a burden of $10 trillion, actually, all the way down to our great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren if it's 100 years. You tell me whose priorities are more important, the hurt feelings of a bunch of servicemen who in reality to a man and woman want to come home and don't want to be there anyway, or the entire fiscal future of the country. We're at 800-989-1480.
Hello?
I'm sorry about that. I was about to put Joy from Santa Cruz on. Joy, you can call us back if you want. I knocked you off by accident. 800-989-1480, that is our number. 800-989-1480. I am Johnny Wendell, and I am not insane in the membrane. I am in for Mike Malloy, however. We will be back. Don't go nowhere, okay?
Lights are blinking, I'm thinking it's all over when I go out drinking. Oh, making my mind slow. That's why I don't.
Look, I think this public opinion, they kind of like Bin Laden. People like John Dillinger, you know, people like Billy the Kid, people like Jesse James. I mean, there's that kind of a thing out there.
This is the Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in. Mike took the night off. I'll be here for another hour and 9 minutes. Two hours and 9 minutes. Rocking in the free world here on the Mike Malloy Show. I am talking to you from K-Talk AM 1150 in Los Angeles, California. The greatest city in the world. Washington Post laid this little tidbit on us from its A1 from the front page of the Washington Post today. Amazing, too, when you think about it, on George Washington's birthday. This is February 22nd. John McCain for years has railed against lobbyists and special interests in Washington and wants to fight against the revolving door by which lawmakers and other influential officials leave their posts and become lobbyists. What he doesn't say is that his campaign is entirely run by lobbyists. His managers, Rick Davis, he co-founded a lobbying firm whose clients have included Verizon and SBC Telecommunications. Can you hear me now, Rick? Good! Charles Black Jr., his chief political advisor. He's the chairman of BKSH and Associates. They're AT&T, Alcoa, JP Morgan, and U.S. Airways lobbyists. Also, Charles Black is one of the best friends the tobacco business has ever had. He's got two senior advisors, Steve Schmidt and Mark McKinnon. They work for firms that have lobbied for Land O'Lakes, UST Public Affairs, Dell, and Fannie Mae. Now, we're worrying about one lobbyist by the name of Vicki Eisenman, see, I remembered her name, a telecom lobbyist who's supposed to distance herself from McCain because she was flying on the plane with him, because she was spending too much time with him, hanging out with him, all alone with a little blonde. Now, because it's a woman and he's spending time with her, oh, that's inappropriate. The fact that she's a lobbyist for a telecom, well, I mean, what's the big deal? McCain's boy works for Verizon and SBC. It's in the blood, man. Let it out. This is on the front page of the Washington Post. One of the posts of the SMSM, the stinking mainstream media. Does this mean the mainstream media, which has fluffed this fellow nonstop for years, has had enough of McCain's shenanigans? Are we witnessing the implosion and the end of John McCain? We are at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480, that is our number. Do you think McCain's done? The mainstream media has done everything short of wipe his butt and kiss the cheeks on his face. And now they're attacking. You think maybe they smell blood in the water and they want to get on the Barack wagon? Or maybe they're setting us up for a little more McCain love down the road. 800-989-1480. John, in L.A., you're on with Johnny.
What's up, Johnny?
John.
Not only do you have the right name, my brother, you're right about McCain.
Let me ask you something, John. You and I have watched the news media in this country bend over and grab their ankles happily for this guy. What has changed?
Well, the biggest thing has changed is that the guy just wants to stand on national security. And, you know, it's like this fear-mongering thing. It's constantly, I'm going to protect you from the boogeyman. You know, the biggest thing that freaks me out is, how are we afraid of some guy that's in a cave? That's the guy that's afraid. He's in a freaking cave hiding. That's the guy that's running. We're not running, okay?
I know that. You know what cracks me up more than anything else, John, is this idea that Americans, we are the land of the free and the home of the what? The home of the, I sing the national anthem when I go see a basketball game, and the home of the brave. It's the last line of the national anthem, home of the brave, and yet every Republicanian candidate is trying to scare you into peeing your pants. That's what they don't get. It's like, you don't get it, man. I live in the home of the brave. You can't make me freak out over this anymore. I was appalled at what happened on the 11th of September 2001, except the farther away the date gets, the more I'm beginning to think the administration that's in power now had something to do with it. That's right, because it benefited them. Everybody wonders, oh, those people who believe in the 9/11 truth are saying they're crazy. Why would you say they're crazy? Who do you think benefited from this? Bush, Cheney, and now John McCain. He's insane in the membrane. He's insane, John McCain. It's not crazy. That's not crazy in the least. Qui bono, as it is in Latin. Who benefits? Who benefits? And John is right. You know, it's unbelievable. We have economic woes up the yin-yang. We had a president who has an approval rating of 19%. I'm in the media, baby. I saw a story today that says the media has fewer jobs in it today than it has at any other time in the last 15 years since the last recession. Bush's, the recession before the last one. Bush Sr. was responsible for that one. His kid's been responsible for the last two. And yet when McCain was asked about economics, well, I really don't know that much about it. Yeah, that's exactly what we want. Somebody that does not know bupkis about issue number one. Don in Santa Monica, you're on with Johnny. Quickly, Don.
Hey, Johnny. Great show. I think McCain is done. Are you there?
I'm here, but the music means you got to talk fast, my friend.
Okay, now the telecom thing. Now, Bush telling the telecom companies that they can be exempt from FCC regulations, that constitutes a bribe, doesn't it?
Well, it depends. If you can show that the telecoms deliberately funneled in money and that they wanted the immunity that they are presently seeking on Capitol Hill, yeah, it's a bribe. But on the other hand, what are 95% of contributions anyway? I mean, to even get Bush's ear in the first place, you got to be a pioneer. You got to give them $250,000. Yes, Don, that is a bribe. When we come back, let's talk Barack and Hillary. Wendell in from Mike Malloy at 800-989-1480. Don't go nowhere, all right?
Listen, the stakes in November are high.
I got a man that's more than 8 foot tall, 4 foot shoulders, and that ain't all. King size papa, he's my king size papa. I take the door off the hinges when my baby comes to call.
Oh yeah, this is the Mike Malloy Show.
It's such a lot of him.
Johnny Wendell in for the vacationing Mr. Malloy. I'm your king-size papa, and I am here for you for another couple of hours or so. I can be reached at tbcwra@aol.com. If you have been unable to make it through our jammed phone lines, I apologize for that. We only have so many of them. tbcwra@aol.com. The Boston Celtics will rise again. That's what it stands for. Oh, yeah, we're just roasting McCain on a spit in the last hour. I'm sorry. We went back and forth on this. Is McCain done? All these lobbying stories about him in the Washington Post, the New York Times, Newsweek, etc., et al. Ad nauseum. When the stinking mainstream media turns on John McCain, a day that I never thought would happen, I thought the sky would turn purple before that happened. And I'm not alluding to 1999 by Prince, but in reality, I thought that was never going to happen. I thought they were in love with J. Sidney McCain, flyboy. But it appears that he may have been a little too flagrant when he was in flagrante delicto with Miss Vicky Eisman, lobbyist lobbyette. He may be done. You know who else would appear to be done along with Senator McCain? his female compatriot in the Washington establishment, Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's finished. Goodbye. She's done. It's over for Hillary. I watched part of the debate last night from Texas, the one that was supposed to resuscitate her career. And she has jumped the shark. Not jumped the shark in what she says or jumped the shark in what she's doing. She is not advancing any kind of propositions that are unusual or unique, some of which are actually kind of nice, the things she's saying. It's just that when you get in your number one zinger against your opponent and all you get is booing, it means that most people have made up their minds that you are not the one they love. I am referring, of course, to her infamous line comparing Mr. Obama to a copying machine. Ian, if you would be so kind, go ahead. You got it? Yep, go ahead.
Lifting whole passages from someone else's speeches is not change you can believe in. It's change you can Xerox. And Barack, it is. Because if you look at...
That was a turd in the punch bowl, lady. That was a mistake. That was a disaster. When you come up with a zinger like that one that you want repeated on YouTube, that you want to be a nifty little soundbite on talk radio and all over the internet, and it dies and it bombs, you're done. Because it really wasn't that bad a remark, as remarks are made. But the fact that the audience reacted with such incredible distaste says that most people, I do believe that this is a fact, in America are pretty much done. They are done not just with divisiveness, but they're done with the old school. They do not want a 72-year-old codger from Arizona that can't seem to remember the stuff that he stood for or doesn't stand for on any given day. It would appear that McCain is Scottish for Romney in a lot of ways, wouldn't you say? That the differences between the plastic mitt and the real straight-talking McCain are negligible, just as the difference between Hillary Rodham Clinton and those politicians would appear relatively negligible too, wouldn't you say? She represents the past. She represents the 90s. She represents her husband's third term, much as McCain represents Bush's third term in reality. She's done. Barack Obama has won 11 straight contests, including Democrats overseas. And there are new polls out of the so-called firewall states of Ohio and Texas that are damning Hillary Clinton to eternal hellfire. Obama and Clinton are tied in Texas. Texas is the second biggest state in the United States population-wise. Yes, it is very unlikely that either of those candidates will beat the so-called straight-talking McCain. Texas is a hardcore Republican state and has been headed in that direction for many, many years. That being said, there is record early voting turnout in the African-American parts of cities like Houston and Dallas and Austin and San Antonio in Texas. And supposedly, Mrs. Clinton's support among her two hardest core demographics, Latinos and white women, are eroding. Because she didn't win those in Wisconsin, did she? In Ohio, where she was leading in a Rasmussen poll by 21 points 3 weeks ago, she leads Obama by 7 now. And March 4th is when that magic day is. That is 2 weeks less. There are four primaries on March 4th. There's Texas, there's Ohio, there's Rhode Island, and there's Vermont. Vermont goes for Obama. Texas, if it goes for Obama, it ends Hillary's campaign. Hillary has to take 58% of all the remaining delegates in these contests. If she loses the second biggest state, it means she can't. And also, the way the delegates are apportioned in Texas, African-American areas in Texas are more represented than Latino ones, despite the fact that Latinos make up 40% of the population of that state. Is Hillary Clinton done? I believe that John McCain is done. I don't know how he resuscitates his campaign. The far right of the Republican Party doesn't like him. He is no longer the friend to the mainstream media. And by the same breath, I believe that Hillary Rodham Clinton is finished. it may be in her best interests to bip out before March 4th and pray that Obama does what I believe is the wrong thing and names her vice president. Do you agree that Hillary is done, or do you think I'm just whistling Dixie for my man Barack H. Obama? We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Do you think all the momentum is with Obama? Yes. Do you think Hillary Clinton can make a comeback? I don't see it. All Obama has to do is keep the big contests close at this point, and most of the little states will go to him. He will not have to negotiate at the convention, even if he doesn't get to the magic number of delegates. Do you think, however, that Hillary, being a Clinton, and Clintons never lose, has something up her sleeve? Do you think Hillary, being married to the one-time most powerful man in the world, has access to gizmos, gadgets, and gee-jaws that people like you and me can only dream of? Do you think that Hillary Rodham Clinton, being a Clinton, can get down and root in the mud like a warthog and kick serious butt if need be? I don't think so. There are those people who fear the Clintons. They believe that they have magical powers and prowess. Ask yourself this if you believe that. These are people that cost the Democrats their majority in the Senate and the House in 1994. They didn't regain them until 6 years after Bill Clinton was out of power. His word, as they say, I don't think goes as far west as it used to. And I don't really, seriously, I believe, and you may find this to be really bizarre. That's fine. That's why I'm here. I believe she never had a chance in the first place. I don't believe that she ever was going to be nominated by the Democratic Party. You're out of your mind now, Johnny. You're crazy. You're having an acid flashback. You were kicked in the head too hard, and you're bouncing and fighting days. No, I will explain. You're going to have to bear with me on this one. Because I know politics, because it's wired into my DNA. I come from a family that is deeply connected to the political zeitgeist. And I have believed in my heart of hearts since moment one that Hillary Rodham Clinton would never be nominated by the Democratic Party, and if by some miracle she had been, would never beat any Republican, any of them, anywhere. Now you may say, that's 2020 hindsight with Obama racking up the 11 victories. But when we come back, I'm going to tell you how I know that she was doomed from the get-go. My name is Johnny Wendell. I'm at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. And at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. The Boston Celtics will rise again. That's how you can get hold of me. On the Mike Malloy Show. Don't you dare go no place, no how, nowhere.
From global terrorism to global warming to global epidemics. That's the America I see, and that's the America we will build together. Read about Swing magazines. That girl is pretty kinky. Girls are super freak. I really love to taste her.
This is the Mike Malloy Show. I refuse to have this song go all the way to the chorus and kill me here. This is Johnny Wendell sitting in for Mike. You're a bad, bad man. That's Ian. Ian's on the board. Jack is on the phones. They and I are at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. And we are asking the question whether or not Hillary Clinton is finished and should just go back to being the junior senator from New York. Is it all over but the shouting for Hillary Clinton? We are at 800-989-1480. That is our number, 800-989-1480. Joseph in L.A. with me. Joseph, hey, what do you think, man?
Hi, Johnny. How you doing?
Good. What do you think?
I think she's absolutely dead.
How so?
And the reason I think she's dead is because of this. George Bush has screwed this country up for the last 8 years, and everybody pretty much knows that's true.
Right.
And she chooses to run on a theme of experience.
Yeah, and remember when Bush was installed by the Supreme Court, and his people said, "Don't worry, you know, yeah, he's an idiot, but he'll surround himself with really capable people." And who did he drag out? He dragged out all these Nixon relics like Cheney and Rumsfeld. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, these guys were either in Congress or in the planning stages of the Vietnam War. That one didn't go too well. I don't understand why people would say, well, it's a plus to have grown-ups and adults in charge. Yeah, I mean, like who? Jeffrey Dahmer and Eva Braun? What are they talking about, man?
I totally agree. I mean, what a flaw. George Bush, that was his whole thing. You know, I've got all these experienced guys around me. And then she sees that the country is sick of that, and then she turns around and says, well, hey, guess what? Here's more experience your way.
Yeah.
Hello. You'd have to be a moron to not recognize that the American people wanted change and something drastically different from what they had been getting. And then she trumps out the same thing that we were getting in the 90s.
Well, not just that, Joe, but I mean, when she's talking about, you know, you want, she's talking about Barack Obama being, well, you know, he plagiarizes DeVal Patrick and he plagiarizes speeches. Then all of a sudden she starts running on change herself. Where'd she get that from? She got it from him. And Hillary Clinton is the same person who prefaced one of her remarks last night. She said, "I have a dream." I've heard that before. What I don't understand is, are these people completely and utterly and totally shameless, or do they not have any idea what's going on? Sandy in Rancho Palos Verdes, you're on with Johnny.
Yes, Johnny. I'm just absolutely amazed. I'm amazed at how everybody is trashing Hillary. And I just want to know when Barack became the second coming. I mean, I don't.
But he said he was the second coming of Christ. I mean,
why
is it that, like, it's a zero-sum game where one of them is great, one of them sucks? I mean, it doesn't work that way.
Because
we're just talking about her as she is.
That's what you guys are doing. You cannot say one good thing about her. And you know what, though? Mark my words. When he becomes the candidate, you guys are going to trash him. You are going to find out dirt about him. And it's such a joke. I have never seen the media so bad in my whole life. We're liberals. We're all liberals.
Wait. Don't start that thing like, well, you can't attack somebody because they're on my team type deal. Like there's some 11th commandment that says you shouldn't attack somebody that is theoretically on your side or not on your side, Sandy. I'm attacking her because of her vote for the war, which she is backpedaling from wildly. I'm attacking her because her supposed universal health care, all it does is empower insurance companies to take more of my money. She actually suggested they should garnish my wages for health care so that insurance companies cash in. Well, they're already garnishing my wages. It's called Medicare. Okay, if you're going to do that, then put me on Medicare. I would like to know why this woman said that it was a mistake to give George Bush any more power and then signs on to Kyle Lieberman, which says, in effect, I tell you what, why don't we bomb Iran? All she is John McCain in a dress with some estrogen in her veins. I don't want that. I don't want a Margaret Thatcher type to be the first female president of the United States. And it is not a zero-sum game where I have to knock her down to build Barack Obama up. She has done a fine job of knocking herself down without any help from me, Sandy. And it's not like I'm like some kind of press pig that can't wait to build Barack up just so he can knock him down. David, in the state of Wyoming, you're on with Johnny.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm all right, man.
Good. Hey, I think Hillary's done, and the reason why I think she's done is a couple of reasons. Number one, everybody was saying that Edwards fans were going to go to Hillary when Edwards dropped out.
Of course.
And I'm an Edwards fan, and they clearly have not done that. I mean,
no.
She's picked up support since he's dropped out of the race, or he's picked up support since Edwards has dropped out of the race.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, theoretically speaking, David, Edwards and Obama are on the same side of the coin. They're the relatively anti-establishment voices here. I don't understand this idea that, like, I'm supposed to, like bend over and kiss the ground Hillary Rodham Clinton walks on because she's got a D next to her name. If anything, the D stands for disappointment above and beyond everything else. She hasn't told me or done anything that would suggest to me why I should vote for her. And I'll tell you something. When we come back, we'll talk about why she never had a chance in the first place, because I promised you that, and I'm a man of my word. Wendell, in for Mike Malloy. Do not go anywhere. This is the Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell in for another hour and a half. Mike decided to take the night off, and he left the show in my hands. World domination follows. I knew you'd do that. We're talking about the wherefores, the whys, and the hows of how come Hillary Rodham Clinton is never going to be president of the United States. Tell me, my friend, male and female, do you have any idea why it is that you fancy the people that you fancy? What gets your pheromones going? What makes your heart beat faster? Which makes your adrenal glands pump? Which makes you firm and or soft? You don't know. It's a subconscious thing, our attraction to each other. It is the stuff of literature. It's the stuff of pop song. It's the stuff of art. It is the stuff of all stories, the intricacies and mysteries of human relationships. We just like and love who we like and love for no discernible, tangible reason. It is a gut feeling, is it not? The visceral gut reaction to Hillary Clinton is negative. It cannot be explained. To me, she is a relatively dull, wonkish politician. And yet, she provokes a fiercely negative reaction in at least half of the electorate, and a lot of the positive reaction that she generates is apologia from women that want to see a female president. Gender identification, which is fair. That's fine. But the gut reaction in your soul, in your heart, that rises from your backbone, that goes through the reptilian lizard cortex that is your mind, for at least half of the people in this country is, I don't like her. And I think of people that don't particularly care for the politics of Mr. McCain or the Republicans that might just say, well, I'll vote for him because I just don't like her. They're not listening to her policies. They are not listening to her proposals. They don't care about her votes or lack thereof in the Senate. There's just something about her that people don't like. And that's why when she declared for the presidency back when, I said to my wife, she will never, ever be elected. There is something about her that puts people off. It's not that she's a woman. It's that she's Hillary. It's not that she's Bill Clinton's wife. It's that she's Hillary. It's not that she's Chelsea's mama, or she's a Cubs fan, or a Yankees fan, or a liberal, or a conservative, or a hawk, or a dove, or any of those things. It's just a feeling that people have about her that puts them off. And if I'm a Democratic Party strategist, I say that there is no way to put lipstick on this particular painting or portrait. I'm not going to use the word that most people use in that expression. I don't think it's fair, and I will not refer to her as a B-you-know-what. That's not fair either. That being said, There is something about her that just plain puts people off. You know, my wife just graduated from nursing school and passed her exam. She is now a registered nurse here in California. And she informs me that a fair amount of the women, and most of the people in her nursing school were women, they had a viscerally unpleasant reaction to their sister, Hillary Rodham Clinton. When she would query them as they were carpooling back and forth from school to studies, she'd ask them, what is it you don't like about this woman? They couldn't answer. They didn't have an explanation for the way they felt. I'll go deeper than that. We're watching Hillary and Barack debate, not the last debate, not last night's debate in Texas, but before this, and our five-year-old was watching. And my wife said to the five-year-old, what do you think of that lady? And he just looked at her and he said, I don't like her. I don't like her at all. We didn't prompt him. My wife said it in the most neutral tones imaginable. It was an experiment. I mean, she's been in the sciences for the last 2 years. She wanted to know. She knows. Don't prejudice the results. Barack came on and he looked at him and he said, I like him. I like him a lot. It's a feeling. It's a reaction. And feelings and reactions, well, we don't like them sometimes, like that crapola from 2000. Oh, George Bush is the kind of guy I could have a beer with. I'm sorry. That's a verbalization of a feeling. What they're saying is, I'm comfortable with him. And yet people like you and I, our reaction to George Bush is, I can't stand him. He was polarizing. You don't hear people say about Barack Obama, I can't stand him. They will say stuff like, well, I don't know what he stands for. He's a very florid speaker. He's very uplifting. I'm not entirely sure of what he stands for. That makes me uneasy. I have heard some people say he is a puling phony because he's supposedly not specific on his policies. On the other hand, you go to his website, he pretty much spells out everything that he believes in excruciating detail. You know what? That's not going to make any difference. Because people's gut feeling about him is they like him, and they really don't care about the specifics. That's actually McCain's most endearing quality. People trust him, or they think he's a wackadoodle. I like the wackadoodlery myself. Nuts of a feather stick together and all. We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Remember that Cameron Diaz movie, There's Something About Mary? There's something about Hillary, and I think that's why she will never be president of the United States. Robert, in Daly City, you're on with Johnny.
Hi, John. Yeah, Rob. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm right here, man.
Oh, great. Yeah, I appreciate your truth-telling. You know, the thing about Barack Obama, recently we've heard that the Secret Service has had some kind of a stand down in Texas.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be talking about that in the next hour, Robert.
Well, that really is something that is very disturbing because the Secret Service has the obligation and duty and responsibility to protect him, and they can both facilitate his protection or his assassination. It's all up to them, and I feel like people need to know that if what happens to Jack Kennedy happens to Barack Obama, the first people you want to get your hands on are the Secret Service, because I believe they were involved in what happened in Dallas.
Could be. I don't know. I mean, I got to tell you, Robert, whenever the issue of the Kennedy assassination comes up, my eyeballs start spinning because so much of it is speculation. And you're talking about something that was 45 years ago. And yeah, we will be talking about what happened in Texas, oddly enough, in Dallas with Barack at the Reunion Arena in Dallas in the next hour. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. You don't want to go nowhere. We're at 800-989-1480. Joy in Santa Cruz, you're on with Johnny.
Hi. You wanted to say, or you wanted us to discuss why we think that Hillary is toast.
Do you believe she's toast?
Yeah, I do, and I also think McCain is toast.
Wow. Well, what an unappetizing bread sandwich that would be, yes.
Well, maybe Obama's the egg, you know.
I'd say something about the baguette, but of course that could be misconstrued, and I'm not a sexist pig. So what do you think that they're done? Why do you think they're done, Joy?
Well, first of all, I think that McCain has so much problems with the FEC right now that he's going to have big problems getting himself out of that.
Unfortunately, the FEC is sort of on hiatus, and I know what you mean. We talked about that in the last hour.
Yeah.
The idea that, you know, he made this peculiar deal with his bank, predicated on him winning New Hampshire, and if he didn't, he'd get money from the FEC. But the FEC is sort of in limbo right now. So what he's hoping for is that that whole ruling will be thrown out the window and he'll be able to freely spend. You know what's interesting, Joy? Even if he is able to raise money, you know how much money he's averaging a month raising? About $11 million. Barack Obama may raise 60. Now, when the other guy outraises you 6-1, that's not very good. You know what I mean? That's depressing.
Well, Obama just topped a million individual donors in the last two hours.
And you know what's fascinating about the Obama campaign, what most people don't realize, Joy, is that of his donor base, only 3% is maxed out. 97% can go all the way up to the 2,300 mark. That's as much as you can donate as a person, right? And only 3% of the donors he's had are maxed out. I hate talking about this money trail thing about, well, you know, everybody likes Barack and they want to give him money and all that stuff. Like, you know, they want to throw money at him like it's, you know, like he's like a gig, like he's a band or something like that. If that's the barometer we have to go with, that's the barometer we got to go with. Matt in North Hollywood, you're on with Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
Matt.
I just wanted to say that it, to me, I do appreciate the show, and I also appreciate your comments about people's personal feelings about Hillary. But really, are we talking about a persona? Are we talking about people who've actually met Hillary, people who have talked to her or worked with her campaign? Are we just basically piling on a woman who's actually still running an election right now, and we're allegedly all Democrats? I've never seen that on a show before.
I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent, man. I got a little I next to my name. I'm one of those declined estates in Los Angeles County that had trouble, okay? I'm one of those, all right?
Okay.
Yeah. Look, it's like if I got to reiterate this a trillion times, I will, Matt. With Hillary Clinton, there is something about her that is unappealing or strident or negative. I don't know what she would have to do to overcome that. It's just one of those things. It's why people would always wonder why certain politicians, why they could never get over the hump. Confirming with the flower. You would do this to me, wouldn't you? Thanks a lot, Ian. When we come back, let's wrap this bad boy up a bit. Is Hillary done? 800-989-1480. Wendolyn from Mike Malloy. Don't go anywhere, okay? If you only had a brain.
Oh, I will tell you why.
I am absolutely looking to Ohio and Texas because we know that those are states where they represent the
full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
Everywhere around the world, they're coming to America.
Our time has come. Our movement is real. And change is coming to America.
Got a dream to take them there.
The Mike Malloy Show in America with Johnny Wendell. Sitting in for Mike. Mike took the night off. We're talking about whether or not the Democratic nomination is sewn up and belongs to Barack Obama. We will talk about Mr. Obama in the next hour. But right now, it is also RAN time. What's wrong with Hillary? What happened to Hillary? She was the presumptive favorite. She was supposed to be the front runner. It was inevitable. Now that it isn't, you are seeing everywhere, all over the press, people are saying, well, you know, she ran a bad campaign. She's got this guy, Mark Penn, who's a union buster, and nobody likes him, and she didn't have the right forces on the ground. Well, she took the two biggest states in the country, California and New York. So she must have been doing something right. I think it goes deeper than that. Maybe she was able to do this on name recognition in huge states where people weren't paying that much attention, but in the little states, in the caucus states, in the Alaskas and the North Dakotas of America, where people actually were in smaller numbers and they thought about it, they just said, I just don't get a great feeling about Hillary Clinton, and I think that's what did her in. Jake in Eureka.
Hey,
you're
Johnny,
on with Johnny.
How's it going?
Good. What do you think, man?
Well, I think that you should go ahead and put a fork in Hillary Clinton's campaign because it is done.
Let me ask you something. Do you really believe that she ever realistically had a chance with her negatives as high as they were, with the reaction of the average person, the independent, somebody who's not aligned with any party to this woman has always been negative? Shouldn't that have been the warning that said she's not her husband, who had a lot of natural charm? She doesn't have that. There's something about her that makes people uneasy. They don't like her.
Well, you know what I think it comes down to? It comes down to the fact that Senator Clinton is insincere. She's fake, she's phony, and people recognize that. You know, look at the whole issue of the war. Perfect example. She votes for the war, supports it, goes to the Senate floor, attacks Democrats who were against the war. But, you know, about a year ago, she decides, oh, wait, I can't get the nomination unless I switch my position. So she goes ahead and switches her position. But a few months ago, she went ahead and voted for Joseph Lieberman's call for an attack on Iran.
I know that. And you know what? What's remarkable, Jake, is that at no point has she ever come out and said, my vote was a terrible mistake. John Kerry said that. John Edwards has said that. But Hillary Clinton won't say it because she can't, because she won't admit that she was wrong. I do not want another person in the White House that won't admit that they're wrong. That I do not like. Ray in the OC, you're on with Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. I was the one long before Iowa caucus who said that it's going to be Barack. Point and end of story. But in any case, the reason I'm like you. I'm a moderate. I'm an independent. I voted for 2000. I voted for Bush and I voted for Kerry last election. And what people need to understand, all these Clinton supporters, that she's so, there's no way that a person like me, she will ever gravitate me or convince me to vote for her. I will not vote for her. She just doesn't.
You know, it's interesting. I'm listening to you talk, man, and when you're thinking about it, you can't articulate in words exactly what it is, and people would say, well, that's terrible. If he can't say exactly what it is in so many words, you don't understand. You don't have to. You don't have to, because all it comes down to is I am looking at names on a ballot. Am I going to endorse or not endorse something? And it's awful that it gets down to the Coke-Pepsi analogy, that it's Coke versus Pepsi, Coke versus... But in fact, that's a sad fact of life. That's the way it is. It is a feeling that we have that we can't put our fingers on. I know the first time that I saw Mrs. Wendell in her little Honda when she pulled up to my apartment on Orange Drive in Hollywood, I could tell she's okay. I like her. You know, she's listening now. Thank God. But it's true. I'm not making it up. It's true. It's like, oh, yeah, she's cool. I could just tell she was okay. And I think that the public has the opposite reaction to Hillary Clinton. They look at her and they go, no. You know, nobody can understand why they loved her husband so much. This guy's a Democrat, and he was carrying Ohio and Nevada. He carried Montana once. He carried Georgia once. He carried Arizona and Florida once, and the two times he ran. I mean, he ran against schmucks like Bob Dole and Bush's father and Ross Perot, but all the same, he did win. And you know why? Because people liked him. People liked him. I saw when after 9/11, Bill Clinton flies 30 hours from Australia to get back to New York City. He's walking the streets in New York City. People are coming up to him, throwing their arms around him, wailing, crying their eyes out. That didn't make the news as much as Bush standing on top of the ash heap on these dead bodies that Giuliani refused to dig up months later, going, USA, USA, like the idiot Andover prep cheerleader moron that he is. And the news media, which had its nose all the way up Bush's rectum since day one, downplayed how much people loved Bill Clinton because it was dangerous to them to have to admit, my God, we've got a fool at the wheel right now. and they had to play up Giuliani racing through the dust of New York, rising from his cancer bed. Well, of course, he wanted to make sure Building 7 was knocked down so his love nest was gone. But no, they won't tell you that in the stinking mainstream media. When we come back, let's talk about the other man that we have not yet talked about in great detail, Barack Hussein Obama, the 44th President of the United States. My name is Johnny Wendell, and this is the Mike Malloy Show. I've got a little piece of advice for you that may save your life one day. Don't go anywhere.
I got a man that's more than 8 foot tall, 4 foot shoulders, and that ain't all. King size papa.
This is the Mike Malloy Show.
My king size papa.
With Johnny Wendell, your king size papa, for another hour. Plus, if you are listening on KTLK AM 1150 in Los Angeles, I'll be back at 7 in the morning tomorrow. That's 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, www.ktlkam1150.com if you're motivated. And if you want to email me, I'm at tbcwra@aol.com. The Boston Celtics will rise again. That's what it stands for. Apparently tonight they're getting killed by Phoenix. These things do happen in the wild world of sports, but it's only sports and it's not the end of the world. The 44th President of the United States, in my humble opinion, is going to be Barack Obama. Not just because he's beaten Hillary presently in polls, he's also leading Mr. McCain in polls. And I think that at this point in America, with an incumbent presidency of Bush at 19% approval, I can't imagine how McCain is going to win. McCain will be painted as Bush's third term. He will be painted as old. He will be painted as crazy. He will be painted as out of touch, pro-war, unable to cope with problems as they come up, a bad economy, you name it. Whoever the Democrat is, if Hillary by some miracle was able to pull this out, and I don't think she will, I think she would win also. I think the public has had enough of Die Partie Republikanische, at least for 4 years. CNNMoney.com reports, however, that Barack Obama, if he is the 44th president, is going to have a $4 trillion headache. A $4 trillion headache. That is bizarre, huh? And it is because of the ludicrous tax problems that we have in America. According to the CBO, the annual budget deficit will improve in the next president's four-year term and end in a surplus in 2013, but that is based on the assumptions that no one thinks are going to pan out. Two of the biggest roadblocks threatening to upend budgetary nirvana would be, what do you do about the tax cuts enacted in 2001-2003 and the growing cost of living, or nixing the AMT, the alternative minimum tax? You add in the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the growing cost of Social Security and Medicare, you end up with a budgetary disaster. That's what the next president has to face, according to CNN. That is common variety crapola that you will get from the mainstream media, who are absolutely terrified of something like this. The next president of the United States says, we can no longer afford to go borrowing money from the People's Republic of China and from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, both of which own us the way a cheerleader owns a schoolboy. We are going to have to change things. Bush's tax cuts, enacted in 2001-2003, should be abolished. We should go back to the tax structure that we had in the 1990s when we ran balanced, if not surplus, budget. Second of all, Iraq has got to end. That is $100 billion a year that it comes off the books as bad ink. Afghanistan must be wound down. I do not believe any Western nation, as the Soviet Union, England, and others have known long before we did, you can't win there. The best we can hope for is a stalemate. We get out of there as well. There is the end of your budgetary problems. The thing is, nobody will ever say this. And I worry about Obama being stuck in Washington, D.C. and starting to get into the idea, like, I don't want to be the guy that raised people's taxes simply because I'm the guy who said the tax cuts that were enacted in 01 and 03 were unfeasible and ridiculous, and the alternative minimum tax, you're going to have to figure out a way to correct that mess. Meanwhile, on the Republican side, we've got the gibberish coming out of McCain's mouth. McCain's mouth says it's not the tax cuts that have got to expire the problem, which, by the way, voted against them in 2001, just so you know. Now he's saying it's not the tax cuts that's the problem. It's government spending. It's out of control. John McCain is ranting and raving about this right now. Did you know that he has voted for every budgetary supplement from 2003 on? Claims there's too much government spending. He's part of said government. And that's the kind of insanity that you are going to be facing in 2008 and beyond when you vote for these people and when you see what they are bringing down the road. The question is this. Can Senator Obama work magic, allow those tax cuts to simply expire, get us out of Iraq, and stop outsourcing anything and everything to people that cost the American taxpayers so much money? I look at this nonsense that with Social Security and Medicare, and I do not like the idea that Obama is putting forth that I am seeing about Social Security and Medicare, where he's kind of like hinting like, well, I might actually think about the privatization. Forget it. Whenever you privatize anything, it ends up costing me more money. The so-called free market does not work in government services. They have to run at a loss sometimes. And yet, you can't have a politician say this stuff. They simply won't. They will refuse. They will skate around it. It's one of Obama's weaknesses, is not being able to come forth and say, Social Security and Medicare are not going to run out of money. On the other hand, because they are not funded by FICAs and taxes that come out of payrolls, which, by the way, is an interesting fact. 75% of Americans pay more in payroll taxes than they do in income taxes. 95% of Americans don't know the difference between those two things. Like, they can't even read their freaking paychecks. That being said, Social Security and Medicare may have to cut benefits occasionally during economic hard times, but they are not going to run out of money. That's not how they work. And yet no politician is courageous enough to come forward and say this. Question. Can Barack Obama do the right thing? As in the name of the Spike Lee movie and the Simply Red song of the same name, will he do the right thing? Will he allow these ridiculous tax cuts that have benefited approximately 3% of the population? Will he let them expire? These are the same people who were doing fine when their taxes were higher in the 1990s. They'll live. And it's not going to hurt the economy. I notice that their taxes are extraordinarily low right now, and the economy is sucking eggs. There is no correlation between taxes and how the economy performs. That is a myth that is put out by the American Enterprise Institute and the Heritage Foundation. Why do they do this? Because those organizations, those think tanks, which are more like stink skanks in Washington, D.C., are funded by billionaires whose raison d'etre in life is to die with more money than they inherited. It does not have anything to do with you and I. That being said, is Barack Obama man enough to do the right thing when it comes to money? Because we never, ever talk about that anywhere. We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. That is our number. Uriel in L.A. You're on with Johnny.
Hi, thanks for having me. First time caller.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Well. as far as Obama doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen in the debates, especially as of late with the Texas debate, this man is level-headed.
Yeah.
I mean, you sit this man down, you talk with him, you tell him an issue, he'll sit there, he'll think about it. 2 or 3 seconds later, he'll be like, well, that's a good point. Here's what I think. What do you think now?
And
okay. I mean, I reckon he's very conciliatory. We know that from his days in the legislature in Illinois that he was able to get a lot of stuff done simply by doing a lot of log rolling. He's a very good politician in the Chicago sense. I will go along with that. But what I want to know is this, Uriel. You're going to have to look people in the eye and say it's real simple. You guys went along with this war thing. It costs money. I want to end this thing. We can't afford it anymore. It's killing our national honor. It's also emptying the national treasury, and it's making the Chinese billionaires at our expense. We can't do that. Is anybody going to have the guts to stand up and do that? I don't know if Barack Obama is that guy. That's my issue, in a nutshell. To actually look at people who throw a lot of money at politicians and say, I hate to tell you this, but you had a free ride for almost 8 years. You're going to have to pay your fair share. That's just the way it works. You guys wanted military spending of almost $500 billion a year. Well, guess what? You're the ones whose interests are protected there, Mr. Ship Owner, Mr. Oil Company, Mr. I do business in Dubai and Bahrain and Qatar and Saudi Arabia, and I need the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy to be my private cops of my private fiefdom. Well, you're going to have to step up to the plate, and you're going to have to fill that collection plate with coin. That is what I would like to see. You're cold, Ian, you're cold. When we come back, does Obama have what it takes to stand up for these? 800-989-1480. My name is Johnny Wendell, and I'm in for the vacationing Mike Malloy, who will be back on Monday, good as gold and as new as a newborn. All right, that made no sense. When we return, let's talk Obama. Don't go anywhere.
If you drive a car, if you try to sit,
I'll tax your seat.
If you get too cold,
I'll tax the heat.
If you take a walk,
I'll tax your feet.
Tax
man. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that.
Senator Clinton, her argument, I think, yesterday was, well, Obama's a talker and I'm a doer. You know, he makes speeches, I offer solutions. It's true, I give a good speech. What can I do? Nothing wrong with that.
Anything you see, just like me, he wanted to sing, he had no windows and no doors. He lived a simple life and was extremely poor.
This is the Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in. Got about 40 minutes left of this magnificent madness that is the mouth of me. We are at 800-989-1480, and I'm also at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. Because I know the lines have been racked out since moment one. I know you want to talk. Sometimes it's got to be over email. I understand. And we're talking about Barack Obama. Interesting. Running against Hillary Clinton, whose husband was, after all, the man from hope. And Barack Obama's entire message is that of hope. I'm in Los Angeles here at K-Talk AM 1150 and all over the world on Mike's show right now. There's an artist named Robbie Connell who puts up posters, great posters. I mean, the way he used to rip the Bush Elder and Bush Jr., Rumsfeld, Cheney, these animals with these posters are vivid. You can look him up on the web. Just Google his name, C-O-N-A-L. Well, he's got a poster of Barack Obama up, and it says under it, hope. And he's looking starry-eyed off into the heavens. That's the man's appeal, but the question is, we got a $4 trillion nightmare hanging over our heads. We've got a rapidly shrinking economy. Ask somebody who works at Starbucks, for example. Starbucks laid off 600 mid-level managers today. Tomorrow, actually I believe it's the 26th of February, they're shutting the entire chain down for a four-hour training session because business is plummeting in that chain. Now maybe they may make better lattes in the future, I don't know. But people don't have discretionary income for $4 for a cup of coffee, and that's probably the issue in a nutshell. Can Obama, like Vicky Sue Robinson and Gloria Estefan before him, turn turn the beat around. We're at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. That is our number. Ron, in Hollywood, Florida, not Hollywood, California.
No, Hollywood, Florida. How you doing?
Very good, Ron.
I'm very concerned about people with disabilities and the poor because I'm on disability and I want to work, but if I work, I'll be a burden to my parents. And my friend Eddie from the movie The Ringer had called in a couple nights ago.
Okay, so in other words, you lose your SSI if you go back to work.
And I would like to ask the candidates the question, what would happen with people with disabilities? Would there be a place in their candidacy?
Well, we know, interestingly enough, Ron, that Bush's father signed the Americans with Disabilities Act back in the 1990s. It's one of the best things he ever did. I have no idea where these people stand on this stuff. I know John Edwards, when he was running, made a production out of the forgotten Americans, out of people that were left behind, as opposed to pushed ahead. I have no idea. I know this, however. If the economy continues to stink, we're all disabled, aren't we? We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480, that is our number. Jamal, in scenic Apple Valley, you're on with Johnny.
Thanks for taking my call, Johnny.
Sure, Jamal.
Hey, I believe Barack absolutely has the courage. I mean, you got to remember, this is a guy that back when when we were getting ready to go to war here, he was one of the only ones who spoke out against it at a time when people would call people like that unpatriotic. And,
traitors.
You know, absolutely.
Fools, I know.
If he's got the courage to come up like that, and at that time say, and disagree with people, then when he's president, I firmly believe he will.
You know what's interesting, Jamal? One thing that he is going to have to cope with that people do not know about is this shadow group being fronted by Ari Fleischer, you know, that bald, bullet-headed former press secretary of Bush's. They're going to Freedom Watch? Is that what they're called? They're going to spend $250 million between June and November making sure that the policies that have done us so much good since 2001 remain in place. That's what I mean by doing the right thing, because he, like Queen and David Bowie before him, is going to be under a lot of pressure. Jeremy, in the OC, you're on with Johnny.
Hey, how you doing?
What do you think, Jeremy?
I don't think any politician, nobody's going to ride it on a white horse and save us all. I don't have any of those delusions, but
good.
You know, we're handed candidates where they're pre-chosen, and we pick them, and we kind of pick the lesser of the two evils, I think. But
This is the first time in ages, Jeremy, at least with Obama, where I think he sort of came out of nowhere, and I think they wanted us to accept Hillary, and I think they wanted us to accept Giuliani as a Republican, and both of them washed out because both of them were really, really unappetizing human beings. So I don't feel that way. I disagree, yeah.
I agree. They definitely want us to pick Hillary, and they did not want us to pick John Edwards. The media was totally complicit and ignored him, I think. But, you know, the reason people hate Hillary isn't a gut reaction.
Oh, I think
that underestimates people. I mean, the fact is, she's a Republican.
Well, she's not a Republican. In reality, she probably, if you're looking at the political spectrum there, she is probably to the left of Obama on a fair amount of issues. Obama is fairly conciliatory and centrist. In reality, Obama's position is probably shared by about 70% of the country. Oh, you're too much, man. Next time we're in Phoenix, Ian, we're going dancing. I'll pay. Wendell, I'm in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned.
I am the nominee. I will offer a clear choice. John McCain won't be able to say that I ever supported this war in Iraq.
This is the Mike Malloy Show. You are under the pressure of Johnny Wendell for another half hour or so. Hope you're having a glorious and wonderful Friday night. We've been talking about Barack Obama and whether or not he will be able to deal with an excruciating mess left behind by the Bush administration, assuming that he will be the president of the United States in the first place. Don, in San Diego, California, you're on with Johnny.
How you doing?
Don, what do you think?
Well, I think he'll have a lot of problems because even though I think he's a cut of the same cloth, even if he gets into a presidency, he'll have problems because Congress is, well, the Israeli lobby and the military security complex is very...
industrial complex, yes.
Yeah, it's very deep-rooted.
That says maybe, but there is also a point, and I've heard this an awful lot, man. There is only so much money that this country can continue to borrow from overseas, and there is only so much money that can be poured down the rat hole. That's something that we're going to have to work with. When we're talking about this $4 trillion disaster looming over our heads, that impacts our ability to borrow money from abroad. True. Tom in Huntington Beach, you're on with Johnny.
It can't be emphasized enough that the potential and promise that Barack Obama holds can only be realized when the people show up and not just vote and go home. They have to pressure Congress.
Correct.
And give him the support he needs. The only way we're going
to
have to
pressure, and they have to pressure him too. You know,
well,
I mean, they
absolutely.
Have to say, look,
but,
you know, you said change. Let's see it.
But it's not a one-man show.
Right.
If we're going to have government of, by, and for the people, then the people have to show up. It's that simple. If they're thinking it's a one-man show, we're doomed.
Well, it's true. And you can't go into the idea, Tom, that anybody's a magician and what they want is magic. It doesn't work that way. You are completely and entirely right. Kent in Flint, Michigan, you're on with Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, I just got a comment about Barack Obama. You know,
sure.
I think the man is on an outstanding direction change and no more status quo. Your comments that I listened to, Johnny, about the $4 trillion debt we have, I've been projecting that for 10 years when our people had started going crazy with the free trade in China. And you know what, Johnny, we got to realize that this country of ours, is a wonderful patriotic United States, is a very wealthy nation. The problem here is just wealth is owned is held by 10% of the population.
Well, about 80% of it is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Not only that, the 10% of the population that owns 80% of the wealth wants the rest of us to be in debt forever for two reasons. One, debt, Ken, as you know, pays interest. They're the ones who own the debt. They collect the interest. Secondly, when you're in debt, you don't kick back much because you don't have any kind of disposable income, so you can't kick back. People don't think about that much. John in Tejas, you're on with Johnny.
Hi. I'm one of those people who works for Hillary out here.
What do you do there for her?
I'm just a lowly field operative. But what I wanted to tell you about was...
What field is this?
Was not the candidates,
yeah.
But their supporters, because I think that's what this election's really about, because I've had a chance to meet both of them. Like, this morning, there's no big Clinton machine. It's a bunch of older ladies,
yeah.
Who are working their hands raw, assembling signs. And it's the same whether it's here or it's at the headquarters in Virginia.
Right.
It's, you know, it's young women like the other staffer who burst into tears this morning because she's so stressed out and is worried about 15 million people not having health care. I mean, it's really sad.
Well, I mean,
these people, and they put so much into this, that these ladies may not see a woman president before they die. But then again, I saw Barack Obama's supporters, and there's people who's with buttons saying they named their kids after him.
Well,
there's people are just putting so much into this.
Let me ask you something.
I think it's going to lead us more divided than we were before.
So you really think that because you probably don't want to hear this very much, when Hillary is going to have to concede defeat, that her
you're so triumphal about it, and what I'm saying to you,
I am not. I'm saying it's a matter of simple mathematics, John. It's math. She has to come up with 58% of the remaining delegates. She's not even going to get half the delegates in the state you're in now, Texas, even if she outpolls Obama. I've seen how it works. It's a labyrinth. It's a maze. I would be horrified if the supporters of Hillary Clinton said, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. If I can't have a girly girl like me be president of the United States, I don't want to be involved. That is depressing as hell. And childish as hell. You talk about old ladies who are like pounding their fingers to the bone. Well, first song we came in on today was You Can't Always Get What You Want, the old Rolling Stones song from 1969. That's the way life is. If you would prefer John McCain to Barack Obama, go ahead. But if you're doing it to spite Obama because he beat your girl, that is a four-year-old's way of thinking. We got to talk about this, by the way. We got to talk about what happened in Dallas, Texas, Wednesday night. Security details at Reunion Arena, which is the big basketball place in Dallas. Security stopped screening people for weapons at the front gates more than an hour before Barack took the stage at Reunion. The order to put down the metal detectors and stop checking purses and laptop bags came as a surprise to several Dallas police officers who said they believed it was a lapse in security. The deputy chief of police in that city said this was meant to speed up the long lines outside and fill the arena's vacant seats before Obama came on. Sure, he said when he was asked, he was concerned by the great number of people who'd gotten into the building without being checked. But he added, the turnout of more than 17,000 people seemed to be, quote, a friendly crowd. In Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas. Don't have to be an older person to remember what happened to a charismatic Democrat in Dallas, Texas, do you? Now, several Dallas police officers said it worried them. The arena was packed with people who got in without even a cursory inspection. They spoke on condition of anonymity because they said the order was made by federal officials who were in charge of security at the event. Federal officials, the federal government run by George Bush and Dick Cheney said, we don't need any stinking security for Barack Obama in Dallas, Texas. Now, I am not the kind of person that lines his bedroom walls with tinfoil. I am not a conspiracy freak. I like to think that I am relatively grounded in reality. I take psychic phenomena with a gigantic grain of salt. But it seems to me that where there's smoke, there's fire in this particular instance. And in Dallas, Texas, which has a history of hostility to certain kinds of politicians, not to mention certain kinds of people who look a certain way, Dallas, Texas, the center of the Trinity Broadcasting Network and the buckle of the Bible Belt, not exactly hospitable to people like Barack Obama, the order from the government comes down, let them all in. You think maybe they were hoping to get lucky and have a loony or two take a pot shot at Mr. Obama. You know this story that went down in Texas. We talked about it in the last hour. Do you think that Bush's minions were hoping for a little bloodbath in the Lone Star State? Charles, you're on with Johnny.
Yeah, that is a problem. You know, security is important. But talk radio is also going to play a role at this now.
What are you going to finger me for this now,
no,
Charles?
Not you. But, you know, some talk show hosts, they generate a lot of hatred and anger out there.
I do, too, with some people, Charles. I mean, go figure. I'm your king-size papa. You and I are friends,
yeah.
Right?
Let me give you an example.
I'm all right. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, by the same standard, Charles, there are people don't like what I have to say. I don't see as I could ever say anything that would have anybody pick up a gun and shoot at someone.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about you.
I'm not just me, but I mean anybody.
What I'm saying is your profession of talk radio. Exclude you for a second because I'm not talking about you.
I know. You're saying that it's an inflammatory medium. I gotcha. And Charles, by the way, I know where you're going with this. You're going to like cite the example of Rwanda where either a Hutu or a Tutsi went on talk radio, said, go club and machete the opponents to death. They killed 500,000 people. I know. I've heard all of that before. And Charles, you and I have talked before. And thank you that you speak of me so highly and so kindly. But however inflammatory a dismembered voice floating through the airwaves is, I can't get anybody to do anything just by talking to them. If they're going to do something, they're going to do it on their own free will. I can't even get my kids to brush their teeth, and I live in the house with them, and I outweigh them by 7 times. So go figure. No. I can't get anybody to do anything. Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Michael Savage or for that matter, Tom Hartman or Randy Rhodes. We can't get anybody to do anything that they're not already motivated to do. But on the other hand, when you have the government, which deliberately says, well, pull back security, get people in Reunion Arena, let's have Barack have a full house. That ain't good. You think this was a deliberate move? Kind of looking that way, don't you think? Hmm? Wendell, in from Mike Malloy. Mike will be back on Monday. Let's see what happens in Texas till March 4th. Don't go anywhere. We'll be here. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had that chase, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? This land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulfstream waters. The Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in for about 10 minutes more. If you really got to get a hold of me because you really got a hold on me or I had a hold on you, I can be reached at tbcwra@AOL.com. tbcwra@AOL.com. Because I'm out of here soon. We have been talking about this horrific news story that comes out of Dallas, Texas. Security details at Barack Obama's rally Wednesday stopped screening people for weapons at the front gates more than an hour before he took the stage at Reunion Arena there. We may be going into a very, very nasty situation here. The Secret Service operates under the Treasury Department, Department of Homeland Security. You think a call maybe came in from Washington that said, take these guys off the detail. It's Dallas. We got a history down there. Now, you might say, oh, you know, you're being inflammatory here, or you're crazy, or you're conspiratorial. I know what history says. Neil, in Birmingham, Alabama, you're on with Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. I had a question about Obama. I think he will be president, and I just wanted to see, what is that going to mean across the world? Are other people going to view him with the same sense of optimism and hope that we do here? How's that going to translate in terms of
Well, I remember seeing on Salon.com a few days ago, there was an article that says in the Middle East, in the Muslim world, that they are looking forward very much to the idea of working with Barack Obama, which, of course, in America is translated as weakness. If you get along too well with the enemy, that's bad. Yak, yak, yak. That's ridiculous. If you have people in other countries who say, you know something, this might be someone we can sit down with, we can calm tensions in our own country with, he would be okay. It doesn't cost us as much in blood and treasure. I got to tell you, as somebody who used to fight for a living, and I did 10 years ago when I was a bar bouncer, it is a lot easier to sit down and jaw than it is to fight with them. And yes, that does come from Winston Churchill, not me. That being said, I don't know how the rest of the world is going to regard us. Probably more favorably if they think that in the United States of America you would elect an African-American male under the age of 50 with the last name Obama. They might think, you know something? Maybe America finally grew up a little bit. We're at 800-989-1480. Peter in Miami, Florida. You're on with Johnny.
Yes, I called up about Barack, but after what I just heard from you, I'm just going to mention a good friend of mine, Pender, Paul Pender. Anyway, you know
Paul Pender, what about him?
Did you know him?
He was a boxer, right?
Middleweight champ of the world. Anyway,
From Boston, Massachusetts, yeah.
From Brookline. Anyway, Johnny, the reason I called, I think Monday morning Congress should have an investigation as to who gave what orders to whom. That's what I pray someone will somehow get.
Peter, can I ask you something?
Why
on earth did you bring Paul Pender up out of nowhere?
Because you mentioned fighting.
Oh, okay, okay. And I'm from Massachusetts. Like
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? It's odd you bring up Paul Pender out of nowhere, Peter. Paul Pender, when he retired from boxing, do you know what he was? He was a bodyguard. That's what he did for a living. And he used to have to bodyguard people that owned racetracks that carried a certain amount of money. I knew the guy.
He had brittle hands, so.
Yeah. But he was a good fighter.
A Brookline firefighter,
Brookline, home to Barney Frank in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating to me that something like this could happen in this day and age and have it be considered a bollocks, a mistake, a screw-up. That boggles my mind. Secret Service agents are trained and trained and trained. And the idea that you would not screen for firearms at a rally for a presidential candidate when I'm sorry, man, we get patted down when we go into the Staples Center to see the Lakers or the Clippers. And they didn't do that to see Barack Obama, who's running for president? You're telling me that this was not deliberate? I'm not buying it, man. I'm sorry. Joanne in Seattle, you're on with Johnny.
Yeah, you know, I have the same feeling that you do, is that it really bothers me that in a city, especially like Dallas,
where all of a sudden this comes out of nowhere, you know?
It does.
Yeah. I mean, and people go like, oh, Joanne, oh, Johnny, you're a pair of lunatics, you're paranoid, you're too suspicious of everybody. I'm sorry. There is protocol. They didn't follow the protocol, and they got caught. And I suppose from Barack Obama's point of view, he was very lucky to escape unscathed. Perhaps from the Treasury Department's point of view, they weren't happy because they were kind of hoping that some nut would take a pot shot at him. Now, you may say, well, they do kind of think that we're crazy for thinking that way.
But you
tell me how this happened. I mean, I'd like to sit down with these guys and say, why'd you decide to pull these people out this detail? Why'd you do that? That's what I want to know.
That's my problem. In of all cities,
I know.
Why Dallas?
I don't know. Maybe because they figured they got lucky once, they might get lucky twice. Isn't that sad? Larry in OK City, you're on with Johnny.
Hello, Johnny.
Larry.
Man, I want to tell you something. I'm a Republican, and by golly, you're pretty smart. I agree with what you were saying about Barack Obama earlier. We ain't got nobody in the Republican Party worth voting for now. And I look at Brock, and I think about Brock can unite people, you know? He can unite, like, the Muslims in America with the Christians and the black folks with the white folks. But then what I like about him the most, I studied him. He's consistent in his voting record, you know?
Well, it isn't just that, Larry. It's like the idea that people in this country tired of fighting with each other for no discernible reason. It may be utterly remarkable to most Americans, but guess what? We're in the same boat together. We don't want to drill holes in it and sink. I can be found at tbcwra@aol.com if you want to keep this thing going. If not, I'll be back whenever. I can be. Johnny Wendell in for Mike Malloy. Mike will be back on Monday. Have a good night. Bye. Like my mama said.